I have a rather solemn word this morning from the little book of Malachi. The little book of Malachi and from chapter 3. Now, before I just underline the phrase that has come so forcibly to myself, I would like to say that in everything I say, it's not simply to you, but to myself and to all of us. It is in chapter 3 and it is in verse 8. And it is the phrase, "But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with the curse, for ye rob me, even this whole nation. Bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now the phrase that has come so forcibly to me is this little phrase in verse 8, "Ye rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Ye rob me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Now, we understand that this little phrase, this part of Malachi, is all to do with tithes and offerings, as you will see in the latter part of verse 8. And the situation that Malachi was speaking to was one in which, in actual fact, everything outwardly was being observed. The people were, in fact, bringing tithes, and the people were, in fact, offering offerings. The temple was rebuilt. The house of God was there. The priesthood was functioning. The Levites, in their various courses, were all in operation. Everything, as far as the outward, as far as the letter went, was in order. I'm sure that many of us would have been delighted if we could turn back the pages of history and were able to see, outwardly at any rate, the worship and the service and the seeming zeal of the people. Especially if we could turn back the pages a little earlier and see the land when it was desolate, and see that there was no house of God, and there was no priesthood that was functioning, and the Levites were scattered, and everything was a wilderness. I am sure that if we compared the situation in Zerubbabel's days, at the beginning of Zerubbabel's days when he returned, and Malachi's day, we should be excited. We should say, well, this is terrific. This is marvelous. Look, the purpose of God has been fulfilled. The house is rebuilt. Jerusalem has its walls. The city is prospering. It seems to us as though everything's right. The law of God is being read and studied. The priests are here, and the Levites, and look at the people. Here they come with their offerings into the temple, and they bring them to be offered. And the tithes, we see people bringing in what was expected of them. I'm sure we should be thrilled. And if we were to turn back the pages to even earlier, again, in the days before even the exile, I'm sure we would still feel that these were wonderful days, the days of Malachi, when we used to see the people worshipping idols, when we saw idolatry everywhere, when we saw immorality creeping in all sides into the actual worship of God's people. I'm sure that we would have been thrilled with the days of Malachi. And yet, what is God's word? God's word is, yet ye rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? No wonder we might well ask, no wonder the people should ask this question, wherein have we robbed thee? Wouldn't they argue we have returned to the land? Wouldn't they argue our grandfathers and fathers, they came back at great cost? They have had a grim and terrible battle to rebuild this house. It's been a terrible and long drawn out conflict to get where we have got today. No wonder the people might question, wherein have we robbed God? We are the remnant. We are the faithful. We are the ones who've seen. We are the people who've come back to the land. We have devoted ourselves to the Lord. Wherein have we robbed God? Now, of course, you know from the book of Leviticus, in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, I'm sure, this about this matter of tithes and offerings. You will know that every child of God was required by the Lord to give one-tenth of their whole income. Now, that meant a tenth not merely of money, but a tenth of kind. For every 10 sheep, one was given. For every 10 goats, one was given. For every 10 bushels of wheat, one was given. For every 10 whatever they were of olives, pounds of olives, 1 pound was given. It was a tenth of everything. A tenth of all the increase of the land, animal and vegetable. Everything had to be given to the Lord. And you will remember that even in the beginning, the tenth of the people had to be given. The firstborn of every son was originally to be given, and then the Lord transferred that, the firstborn son being given to the house of God, and transferred it to one tribe, the tribe of Levi, and said, this tribe will be the tenth of the whole nation. This whole tribe shall be separated unto the Lord. Now, you see, this was the background of the prophet Malachi's words here. Ye have robbed God, but ye say, wherein have we robbed God? And I wonder this morning, as I come to you, just how you and I would answer the Lord as he speaks to us and says, you are robbing me. Yes, you. Not the person sitting next to you. Not the person across the way. Not the person on the platform. But to each one, God says, you are robbing me. And we might well ask ourselves, how, Lord, am I robbing you? Wherein am I robbing you? Supposing the Lord were to say to us as a company, ye are robbing me. And we might well say as a company, but Lord, wherein are we robbing? You may well argue, well, Lord, it's cost me something to be with this company. There's been a certain amount of battle and conflict, and there's a certain sort of standard, and, well, it's cost me something. I could have found it much easier if I'd gone so-and-so, or gone here, or gone there, or I could have gone back altogether, Lord. And I'm still here, Lord. How do you say I'm robbing you? Wherein am I robbing you? Or as a company we might say, Lord, you surely know the way we have gone. You know that we've sought to be faithful to you. We've sought to be obedient. How are we robbing you, Lord? It would be so much easier to fall back to onto another level, to let go of some of the things that perhaps others would consider to be mere ideals, just to let go and sink back into the normal run of Christendom. Wherein are we robbing you? There may be so much, as in Malachi's day, to which we can point. There is the house of God, and it's being restored. At least we feel amongst ourselves there is some little measure of it, and we're glad comparatively when we look upon the scene. We say, well, the Lord's doing something, and we're thankful. We're thankful. And then maybe we see something of the priesthood of all believers, and we see a little of it functioning, only a little, but we're so thankful for the little that we see that is functioning. Perhaps we see a little bit of Levitical service, that service inside the house, so humdrum, so routine, so ordinary, and yet which is the very heart of all that God does. We see a little of it, that little nucleus of devoted people, and we think, oh, we thank the Lord for that. And so we could go on. We see the offerings, and we see the tithes, and we say, well, surely it's here. How are we robbing God? But you see, if you look through this little book, you will find some rather solemn and some rather searching things. You see, the last part of verse 6, wherein have we despised thy name? And then again, verse 13, ye say also, behold, what a weariness it is. You see, the situation is behind Malachi's words was that somehow God's children had let go of their inner devotion to the Lord. And without even realizing it, they'd begun to despise the name of the Lord. Despise? How did they despise? Not outwardly. They revered it outwardly. But you see, in practice, they were despising the name of the Lord. By attitudes. By acts. By a lowering of standards. By a compromise. By so much else. They were despising the name of the Lord. They were taking the name of the Lord their God in vain. The name was there, but behind it there was an emptiness. They were not living in the good of the name of the Lord. And then again, this little word here, what a weariness it is. How it sums up a lot of our feelings, doesn't it? What a weariness it is. The service of the Lord. Oh, it's a weariness. The gatherings of the Lord's people. Oh, what a weariness it is. This whole Christian life. What a weariness it is. And sometimes we go even further and we can talk about anything to do with the cross. It's a weariness to us. Anything about the church. It's a weariness to us. Sums up a tremendous amount, ye say. Behold, what a weariness it is. If you look very carefully, you will note that it is the Lord's table. This is the only reference, most interesting as it is the only reference in the whole Old Testament to the Lord's table. It occurs twice, at least, in this little book. The table of the Lord. What a weariness it is. Now, you see, this is the background in which Malachi stands forth. And you know, maybe we see something of the house of God. Perhaps we see something, as I've said, of the priesthood of believers. Perhaps we feel we're making our offering and bringing in our tithes. But you see, there may behind it all, creeping into our hearts, this spirit of, oh, but it's a weariness. It's a weariness. And the offerings that we're making, they might be blemished, or lame, or faulty. You see? It's not the best. Again, the tithes we're bringing in, you notice that here the Lord says, bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse. Bring ye the whole tithe. Now, this is the argument of the Lord with his people. It's not that they are not bringing the tithes in. It's that they're not bringing the whole tithe in. That's the point. Maybe the people will say, well, we've had a hard harvest this year. If we bring the whole tithe in, we shall suffer. Maybe there were other circumstances that were making the people argue along this line. How can we bring the whole tithe in? But the Lord's challenge is bring the whole tithe in. Now, that's the heart of this matter. The Lord really, his emphasis is upon the whole tithe. Now, what is it that Malachi is really demanding? I tell you what he's demanding of you and of me, as well as of them. He is demanding the rights of the Lord. He is demanding the rights of the Lord. Now, what are the rights of the Lord? Listen. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. We are not our own. We have died. And now we live unto him. That's the key to the Christian life. That is the basis of the Christian life. As far as God is concerned, all of us are living by grace. As far as he is concerned, not one of us is living the Christian life but by his grace and favor. We are his lock, stock, and barrel. Go back to the prophet Malachi. Why does he say so much about covenant? Why does he say so much about the name of the Lord? Why? Because the covenant meant that the people of God were a bought people. Who was it that got them out of Egypt? Who was it that saved them from death? Who was it that took them through the Red Sea? Who was it that fed them in the wilderness? Could they have lasted a moment without the Lord? Why did the Lord make that great covenant at Sinai with his people? It was the covenant that ratified what he had done in Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness. By the shedding of blood, he said they were his people and he was their God. And the point of it was this, not one of all the children of Israel had a right to himself any longer. He was the Lord's. How was he the Lord's? By covenant. Every one of them was in covenant with the Lord. And the covenant made was made by blood, death and blood. Now that's tremendously solemn. And this is why, of course, again and again, whenever the scripture brings in this question of the covenant made at Sinai, it is with awe. Even in Hebrews, we are told. Darkness and cloud and fire attended the making of that covenant with God's people. Why? Because they were no longer their own. They were his. Covenant people. And the name of the Lord. Now listen. Once the Lord has taken the people out of Egypt, and once he's delivered them miraculously through his grace, once his blood is upon them, they have a right to his name. Once, as it were, God says, now look here, you've lost your names. You've lost, as it were, your own rights. You've lost your own background. I've taken you out of Egypt. Now you are my people. You are the I am that I am people. Jehovah's people. You are the people of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Now this is the same with you and I. Why does Malachi speak about the rights of the Lord? Because there is not one person in this room who has been saved but by the grace, the sovereign grace of God. There's not one of us, if we are in a relationship with the Lord, who owes anything of that relationship to ourselves. It is God who has saved us. It is God who came into the world in his Son. It is God who shed his blood for our redemption. And it is God who has brought us to himself. Now, there is not one of us here with whom God has not made a covenant. We are in the covenant made with his blood. This table speaks of the covenant made in his blood. When we take this loaf and we take this cup, we say, Lord, we are a covenant people. We belong to the Lord. We are his by right. And you know, when you take that cup, when you take that loaf, you know what you're saying? You're saying, I have no rights. No rights whatsoever. I am a child of God. I belong to him. Now you understand why the Lord comes. It's not severity. All the Lord is saying, I want to have the basis of the covenant in operation. I made this covenant with you. You were willing to be saved. You were willing to come into my salvation. You were willing to cast yourself upon my mercy. What have I got? What have I got? I've got the dregs of your life. I've got blemished offerings. I've got part-time tithes. I've got just a little bit here and a little bit there. When you're in trouble, you come to me. When you're in need, you come to me. Whenever you're in a scrape, you pray and you read my word. But where are my rights? I saved you, and yet, you are robbing me. Now, how are you robbing me? Well, the Lord can underline a number of things in which we are robbing the rights of the Lord. Now, let me be practical. The rights of the Lord in love. All right. Tell me, who do you love this morning? Who do you really love? Oh, of course, we would all say we love the Lord. But do you love the Lord? Who's first? Husband? Wife? Child? Parent? Friend? Who's first? Church? Who is first? Ye are robbing me, says the Lord, because you've left your first love. You stepped back. There are other people. There are things. Maybe it's not some of us, I'm afraid, are not so animate as to love people. We love things. And things get in the way of the Lord. We love the work. We love business. We love the home as a thing. And that gets in the way of the Lord. Every human being has got to love something.
God says, where are my rights? Where are my rights? I can remove the candlestick if the love's gone. You may have faith, you may have the work, and you may have the testimony, and you may have the activity, and you may have the gatherings, but if you do not love me, it's all to no avail. My dear friend, if you and I were in the church at Ephesus with the Ephesian letter and with Ephesian practice and with Ephesian knowledge, we would be thrilled. And yet to this church, God says, if you do not repent, I will remove the candlestick. What a word. We might well consider the Lord to be harsh, but he's not harsh at all. You and I have entered into covenant. God is keeping his side of the covenant. Are you keeping your side? What does this covenant? God will give himself, if I may say it almost irreverently, lock, stock, and barrel to you. On the understanding in the covenant that you give yourself to the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel. That's all. He has died for you. You must die for him. He has given himself for you. You must give yourself for him. These are the two sides of a covenant that God has made eternally with his people. So the Lord says, you're robbing me. It's a strange thing that whenever you talk about love, a kind of thing comes over a lot of us as if, I don't know what it is. Some people are frightened of it. Don't know what it is, but oh, this is the thing that lies behind Malachi. Why do you think the little book of Malachi begins with this little phrase? Strange, isn't it? Doesn't seem to have anything to do with Malachi's ministry. Esau have I hated, but Jacob have I loved. Why? Because the Lord knows you and I are Jacob. He knows what's in us, but his cry to us is, I've loved you. I have loved you. Where are my rights? Oh, we can go on. Let me ask you again, where are the Lord's rights in your home? Is the Lord Lord in your home? Is the whole tithe coming in? Tell me. Is your home in place of the Lord? What about your work? Is the Lord getting the whole tithe there? Is it coming in? Or is that a part? Something else? All the things that would be changed in homes and places of work if the Lord were getting the whole tithe. Oh, I could go on asking question after question. What about, of course, what about your friends? Is the Lord? Lord, is he getting his right in your friendships? Or are your friendships something other apart from the Lord? The Lord says, you are robbing me. You are robbing me. Yes, of course it comes to money as well. If a man or a woman doesn't give a tenth of their income, as far as money goes, you can rest assured that they're not giving much at all. Why? It's not law. It's not a question of tenth. But it is an interesting thing that if the Jew was required to give a tenth, surely we should give at least that. How can we argue with the Lord? It's hard to argue with him on this matter. You see, the whole point the Lord wants to know is not how much you're giving, but is he getting his rights? That's all. Is he getting his rights? You are robbing me, he said. How? What about time? Is the Lord getting his rights in your time? How little time we have, but is the Lord getting his rights in our time? You know, when you carve up life, how much there is given to this and to that and to the other. But the Lord stands in it all and says, you're robbing me. You're robbing me of time. You're robbing me of money. You're robbing me of homes. You're robbing me of work. You're robbing me of your pleasures, your friends. I must have the tithe, the whole tithe in this.
Well, if you look carefully at this verse, you will find the Lord says, bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse. And the storehouse is part of the house of God. You will remember, if you want to, you can look back to Solomon's instructions, you can look to Ezekiel's instructions, and you will find a lot of instructions about the storehouses. There were all side rooms in the temple for the tithes, especially for the tithes and for the gifts. And you see, what the Lord is really saying is, bring it in. Bring it in. Bring it into the body. Bring it into the family. Bring it into the house of God. Contribute all this. It's not that the Lord just wants you to sort of make some little promise and vow up there in the air. No, says the Lord, the truth of your attitude will be seen in the house of God. Whether you are bringing the whole tithe in. And do note that it results in four things. It results in food in the house of God, not famine. He says that there may be food in my house. And the second is, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it. Abundant blessing. And the third thing is, no more devouring. There will be a rebuking of the devourer, verse 11. And the fourth thing is, there will be attraction. All nations shall call you happy, for ye shall be a delightsome land. Attractiveness. Spiritual attractiveness. The Lord really in the end is the spiritual attractiveness of his people. And when the Lord's not there, you may have all the things, but the world just sees through it all as something that is just a lot of religious rigmarole. Something you've either got to be brought up to or you've got to have a vested interest in. But if the world really sees, though it understands it not, something extra to God's people, something other than God's people, it is of course the Lord. Those that want the Lord, they're drawn irresistibly to the Lord. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself. And says the prophet Zechariah says there comes that day when out of every nation there will come people who will take the skirts of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that the Lord is with you. So you see, here's a solemn word. God says, ye rob me. Yet you say, wherein have we robbed? You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now every one of us needs to go home and really ask the Lord, every one of us, we need to go home and really ask the Lord, am I robbing the Lord? Am I contradicting my salvation? Am I abusing the covenant? Am I despising the name of the Lord? We need to get these things clear with the Lord. We need to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, whatever it be. I can see that all kinds of situations would be finished. Some homes would get rightly related. Some places of business, which are now spiritually dead, would become places of witness and service and fruitfulness. Oh, there'd be some meanness that would be touched, and there would be a flow out of material things there would be all kinds of things. Some friendships may be stopped and have to be put away. Others may be put into right perspective. But above all, I am quite sure that the spiritual food and the spiritual blessing and the spiritual authority and the spiritual attractiveness would outweigh any cost or sacrifice attached to bringing the whole tithe into the Lord. May he give just that help and that grace to so do. Shall we pray?